You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Once more with dragons. Arc 1, The Lights of Imperia. Chapter 1, The Cold Reed. You'd think the denizens of Imperia would be avid sleepers. It's so dark there that you would swear the sun quit its day job to move to the West Coast because it heard it's warmer there. You see, this city, Imperia, is trapped beneath the permanent shadow of the Laddie Cliffs. The wooden houses and taverns and stables and marketplaces and inns of this metropolis stretch towards the sky, haphazardly stacked in hundreds of tipsy towers. It's as if the building's peaks and steeples and eaves are always grasping fruitlessly at the precious rays of sunlight that never seem to strike the alleyways and byways of the darkened, winding streets of this capital city. But, as I have found, Imperians never sleep. Some people say it's the elf bean coffee, but let's not kid ourselves. They don't call it the City of Lights for nothing. Everything in Imperia glows. From the glimmering billboards high above Pendulum Plaza to the enchanted technicolor neon beams that outline every thatched gable and every unexplored alleyway gutter. Oh, and how could I forget? The theaters. Hundreds of them. The Hohenstein, the Tonophone, the G.R. Schroeder, each one of them with its own sparkling, flashy marquee. I mean, if you're going to do magical theater, you want to show it off, right? And in fact, Gregory, this is exactly where you find yourself, in front of the Demps Hohenstein Theater. Jess, will you describe your character to us?
Yes, I am a shabbier man, or should I say hill dwarf, called Gregory Highland. I've been around for a while. I am very old. I am not very strong physically, but I've got my wits about me. My hair is gray, and I used to have a lot of charm to me, but that has withered away into nothing more than a twinkle in my eye.
And Gregory, you find yourself in the metropolis of Imperia because you've tore out a casting call from your local newspaper. Mm-hmm. This casting call reads, "Wanted, performers and other theater types. The Liedernander organization is holding an open casting call for positions in its magical theater productions. Auditions are held every Sunday in the second basement of the Demps Hohenstein Theater," which is where you find yourself right now. You see in front of the Hohenstein has an imposing marquee shining above you. On it is a 10-foot-tall, magical neon face of a smiling elf lady with bright white teeth. Beneath that, it says, "Caroline Chandler is Dragotha in Hello, Dragotha by Florence Schick."
Oh, crazy.
Of course, underneath that it says, "Everyone's favorite Drago Lich is back and will never go away again."
That Sounds like a threat.
Things ain't like how they used to be.
And so, Gregory, you turn the corner past the marquee and head down the blue neon-lit alleyway just to the side of the Demps Hohenstein. There, you see in front of you another humanoid figure. Christy, will you describe your character?
I am Desiree the Magnificent, once the greatest magical theater performer of my time, which was about 3 centuries ago. I am no longer young, but I still retain my commanding presence and the unmistakable charisma that made me a star. With me is my constant companion, my cat, Lord Adametus the 14th. Isn't that right, Addy Snuggly Boy, my sweet little baby? I am a druid, and of course, I am very fond of animals.
Gregory, do you say anything to Desiree?
I smile and nod, but I don't say anything out loud.
All right.
I recognize her.
Ah, of course, from the old, good old days.
Nah. it's always nice to be noticed.
You find yourself in front of a red, dusty-looking door labeled Stage Door in glowing, enchanted blue script. What do you do?
I stare at the door for a very long time. I turn to Desiree and I give her the nod, like, look what I'm about to do, and then I push open the stage door.
All right. As you push open the stage door, you run into something, and you hear someone go, oh, and behind this door, you encounter someone else. Emily, will you describe your character?
The name's Evelyn Forte. I'm a brassy, loud, charismatic, singing dragonborn sorcerer. I can play any part. My charisma's off the charts. You want a kid? I could be a kid. You need a 90-year-old lady? That's me, baby. No microphones or amplification needed. Evelyn Forte is here to help you. Just don't stand downstage center of me.
I react to that entire intro very much like my hearing aid has gone off, but I'm not wearing the hearing aid.
Ha-ha!
Hello, Evelyn. It is a pleasure to meet you.
I give her an imperious look as if I haven't quite decided what to make of her yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Desiree, we meet again.
Yes.
You two have met...
We have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been around longer than I have, for sure. But I've heard her name.
And I am Gregory Highland. It is a pleasure to meet you, Miss Forte.
Yeah, I've never heard of you. So nice to meet you, Gregory.
I'm from times that you may not have known of.
Oh, all right. Times I may not have heard of. So do you got to use those body mics, don't you?
I have never used a body mic, no. I once was very big here, and then I kind of went into the countryside.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, it's good of you to join me here. I welcome everyone, as long as they, know who I am.
Well, now your name is very hard to miss.
Evelyn Forte!
As is your voice.
In a room, you light it up like a fire lights... everything.
I will take that as a compliment, young man. Old man? I don't know your age.
Old man. Very old.
The three of you find yourself in the anteroom just inside of the stage door of the Demps Hohenstein Theater. No one's here. There's a staircase leading downward. I assume you all ended up here because you all tore out that same hopeful-seeming scrap of newspaper and are here for Sunday auditions.
Oh, yes.
Which, of course, indicates... how about let's play some Dungeons and Dragons? I would like someone to roll, everyone to roll a perception check.
Perception. Do.
Okay, so what do I have to do?
So you take a d20 dice, which is the complicated one, roll it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then add to that number, there's a perception in the big list of skills.
Perception. Oh, I see it. Okay.
Oh, shoot.
We're off to a roaring start.
15.
All right.
I've got a 15.
Mine is extremely apt. I've got a 5.
All right, Evelyn.
Old man, young man, I don't know.
Evelyn, you are sure you are inside. The other two, you notice on the wall is a kind of crooked sign pointing down the staircase, and it says Ekant Basement. It looks like part of it may have fallen off, and there's an arrow pointing downwards.
Hmm.
Let's go to the Ekant Basement.
So we go up or
we go down?
Oh, I'm not very perceptive, you see.
Yes, that much is clear.
Is there a handrail to the second basement?
There is a handrail to the second basement. Are you?
I'll grip it for dear life as my knees try to bring myself down the stairs.
What kind of lighting do we have in here?
It's you know, dimly lit backstage lighting. A couple blue bulbs, a couple normal you know, white looking bulbs. And I say bulbs, but obviously everything is enchanted here, so they're just magic glowing orbs, but still sitting in cages attached to the wall.
Sure.
You descend slowly and carefully. You septuagenarian crew. You.
Hey.
Down two flights of cramped stairs. And you know how when you walk into a new theater, you can just kind of smell the magic in the air? You smell that here too. Perhaps it's the dust, but there's something going on there. And you arrive at the second basement. It's a long cramped hallway. And you see a sign at the very end of the hall that says auditions at the door at the end of the hall. Are you going to head down the hallway towards this door, perhaps?
Yes.
I stand for a while, and in the back of my head, I hear, I don't know why I'm frightened. I know my way around here, and I'm having apprehensions right then and there.
Yeah, have any of you played the Hohenstein before? It's a pretty old theater.
A great many years ago. My second husband and I met at my opening night here.
Yeah, I played the lead in Jorpsy just last year here.
Many years ago, I had my greatest success here. And then several years later, I had my greatest failure here.
How ominous.
Oh, is that right now?
We'll see.
Oh.
You start walking down the hallway. You notice a couple things. There's a sign on the wall that says absolutely no prestidigitation in this corridor. And it looks like there's a fiery blast mark on the corner of that. There's a smattering of props here and there, a discarded boa, a stuffed dragon head puppet. You pass by a couple doors and you read the signs on them. One says Usher's Quarters. You see three doors in a row. The first says Magical Props. The next one says Non-Magical Props. And the last one says Impractical Props. And then there's another door at the very end, not the one that says auditions, but it also says toilets on it.
Oh, thank God.
And then you approach this door at the very end with a semi-askew sign that says auditions on it. And you seem to hear some muffled arguing going on behind this door. You can't quite make it out, but there's, you know, the telltale signs of a conversation gone wrong.
Ooh.
What do y'all do?
What do you guys think we should do? All right, let's get together. Let's make a plan.
Now, hold on. You don't know what they're talking about. They could be working on casting right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would like to find out. Can I make a listen check at the door?
Sure. You can make another perception check. So go ahead and roll a d20 for me.
Oh, that's not my d20. This is my d20. Okay, I've got a 9 plus 4, 13.
All right. With a 13, Desiree, you lean your ear up to the door, you can hear muffled from behind you,
"Why, I've told you once and I've told you 1,000 times, Susie, you don't deserve to be in this theater, I do."
Ooh.
Ooh.
That voice sounds familiar to me.
Do you want to, Evelyn, you can roll a history check and see if you recognize that voice.
I would love to roll a history check. Okay. I roll the dice. I'm doing the thing. Oh. I'm a four.
A four. With a history check of four.
Memory ain't what it used to be.
You are positive that that is the voice of a person.
Wow.
So I was right.
That's all you know.
It's not a Jellicle cat.
Yes. It is certainly, this person is, or this humanoid, I should say, is certainly speaking common, the general language of Imperial.
All right. Good. Good on you, Evelyn.
Can I do a stealth check?
You can absolutely.
To try to crack open the door and peer inside without alerting them.
Sure. Absolutely. Go ahead. Roll stealth for me.
All righty. 11 plus 2, 13.
13. All right. Gregory, you very carefully get down on your knees. I know that's a bit of an ordeal for you.
That's not much of an improvement.
Careful, Greg. Be careful.
All right. I'm careful.
You peer through the keyhole in the doorway, and you do see a couple things. This is certainly an audition room. You can see three figures seated at a table, and two other figures, one who seems to be angrily pointing at the three figures seated at the table. You relate that this figure pointing is saying something like, "You don't deserve, I cannot believe the Leader Nanders have let this happen, and you should know better, Lily. You've been a part of the..." And then as quickly as you've leaned down, you very abruptly witness a fifth figure in this room, because this fifth figure is right next to the door, and they twist the knob and open it into your face, and I'm going to need you to take 1 point of damage.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Greg!
Ouch! Ah!
Gregory, you stumble back, reeling from a doorknob to the face.
Oh!
Oh, no. And you hear a voice go, oh dear, oh my goodness, I am so sorry. And in front of you, you see a tall, scraggly elf in a laurel green tweed suit jacket with elbow patches on it. He's wearing a paisley tie, and he's got a suitcase with him that has like papers haphazardly stuffed into it. He's not holding it like a briefcase, not holding it like you would hold a briefcase, but grasping it between his arms as he used it to open this door. And he says like, "Oh my God, I do apologize. Mo, there's some people out here."
Oh.
And you hear that other figure, the one who is angrily pointing, goes, "What? Other people? No one shows up to these auditions." Behind this man, the scraggly elf, you see another figure appear. Figure is a short, stout dwarf. He's wearing a pinstripe cloak that's lined on the inside with a shimmery burgundy silk. He has certainly been yelling. He is red in the face and a very, very huffy looking.
Oh.
And he says, Leon, who is out here? What's going on? What do y'all do?
It's me!
Right. No, Lord. Oh, gosh.
It's me, Evelyn Forte!
Oh, no.
I'm here to audition. No need for autographs. No need to thank me. But I am here.
You see this dwarf in the pinstripe cloak rest his face on his hand and goes, "Oh my God, Evelyn Forte, I thought you went upstate to a farm. You're back?"
I did. I went upstate for a while. I had some, let's call them exhaustion issues. And now I am back, ready to bring my career back. Not that it was ever gone, mind you. I've always been a household name.
Oh, yes. Exhaustion issues. We know what that means.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And this is
a rye rye.
This dwarf, Mo Pumpernickel, he looks between the three of you. Gregory, I assume you're still on the ground having just been beamed in the face.
Yes, I am trying to reach for something to push myself up.
He's fine.
Hoping that someone might lend me a hand or something.
You're not that far from the ground. Just pick yourself up.
I'll pull you up.
You see, all right, so you pull Gregory up as a...
So many cracks as she does it.
Yeah.
I do it fast.
It's like eating lobster. There's so many cracks. you see Mo turn around and point at these three figures at the table and goes, "This is my last word on this. You wouldn't know a good show if it bit me in the ass." And then Leon, the man with the suitcase, turns around, bit you in the ass, boss, bit you in the ass. And then Mo said, "That's what I said, bit me in the ass." And then the two of them storm past you out the door that you just opened, back down the hallway and up the stairs.
Sounds like they got some problems with their show.
We all know how this business is.
Can I ask a question, DM?
Absolutely, yes.
This is just about the newspaper clipping.
Sure.
How many roles are there? Are we like all going in for like the same role? Or?
There are some other people in this room who you could certainly certainly ask them some questions if you have some questions.
All right.
I've been in this business a very long time. I'd like to see if I recognize anybody in the room and any history they might have with one another.
Sure,
wow, you're so do that. Smart.
Okay, roll a perception check.
Rolling a perception check. Da, 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 da. Ooh, 18 and 4 is 22.
All right, Desiree, with a 22, you stand. I believe all entered this audition room at this point, and you're standing next to each other, staring at these three people who are in the room. You say nothing to them. You just, Desiree, you stare intently.
It's a casting strategy.
I just stare and stroke my pet cat.
And woman at the far end of the table, who's a spry middle-aged human with bright red hair and a very kind smile, she says, "Oh my goodness, if it isn't Desiree, Evelyn, and are you... But, Gregory?
Yes.
It has been years since y'all have trod the boards. I love all of your work. I can't believe we are so graced with your presence. Lily, these are the golden oldies, are they not? And this woman sitting in the middle, who is a tall, pale half-elf, she's got a great platinum undercut going on. Oh, well, hi, y'all. I've got all y'all's albums.
Oh.
What a delightful day. And you see her poke the last person sitting at the table, who is the oldest dragonborn woman you've ever seen. You have no idea how old this woman is, and you all are pretty old to begin with. She is seated in this chair, head back over her shoulders, snoring, just dead out. And Lily pokes her and goes, Anne, you gotta, never mind. Anne will wake up in a second. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the audition.
Charmed.
Susie stands up and says, yes, hello. My name is Susie Bowman. I was just doing industrials when you all trod the boards here. But I am the delightful director for Hello Dragotha, and want to welcome you to the Liedernander's general audition. I assume that's why you're all here today.
Yes.
I get nervous and try to hide my black eye immediately.
Listen, kid, I was born to play the role of Dragotha.
Ah, yes, Dragotha. Well, we have already, as you saw, Caroline Chandler. Hold on, I have to check. That's actually the name of the character. That I made. yes, we've already cast Caroline Chandler in the role of Dragotha. But of course, the Liedernander organization has plenty of openings across
Chandler,
all of
Chandler. 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 Yes. She's a hack. Talk about exhaustion. Am I right, Desiree?
Well, yes, I know the rumors of Caroline Chandler's involvement in this show have been making the... But none about that. Lily, shall we... Would you all like to do some cold reads for us? Lily here can cold read with each of you, if that's something you'd be interested in doing.
I live for cold reads.
I would love to volunteer before this one chimes in to volunteer.
All right. So, Gregory, if you could...
I can't even recall how many centuries it has been since I've been asked to do a cold reading.
And Susie ignores your statement, Desiree, and says, all right, Gregory, if you could take the mark here. You're the two. There are some chairs on the side if you'd like to take the seat. And Susie snaps her fingers, and the lights in this room change suddenly, and there's definitely a spotlight that appears on this little spike mark on the floor where she has indicated, Gregory, that you shall go stand.
All right, I do so. I get there, and suddenly, like, just with the adrenaline of performing, my movements are a little more fluid, and I am a little bit more able to work than any time any of these people have seen me before this.
Excellent. So you take your mark, Susie sits down back behind the table, and Lily hops up, and suddenly is wearing a very casual suit with a tie on it. It seems to have prestidigitated herself to that. Lily walks up to you, stands next to you for a second. Susie sits down, perches some glasses on the tip of her nose, takes a note for a second, looks up at you all and says, all right, whenever you're ready. And the moment she says that, Lily... walks up to you, reaches into her pocket, and hands to you, Gregory, a ticket.
I try not to react, but I do feel the ticket going into my pocket. I wait for her to kind of walk past me a bit, and then I try to subtly pull it out.
So she is standing there with the ticket in her fingers, motioning towards you and handing it to you.
Gotcha. I go out and reach it.
All right. You grab the ticket.
Yes.
And you stand there for a second, and you see Susie at the audition table, and she looks over the brim of her glasses and kind of does a subtle...
I look down and read the ticket just before, like, I start anything, just so I can have context of what's going on.
Absolutely. You see in your hand is a ticket. It's about maybe 3 inches across and 1 inch wide. And it says on it, admit one. And there's a perforated line. And along that perforated line, it says tear here.
All right. That's a lot of help. All right. I stuff that into my pocket and I look right ahead, and suddenly performance mode comes on. And all the weary worldness goes away in me, and I pull out the Tomorrow and Tomorrow from Will Hard Shakespeare, a very famous dwarf poet.
And as you are halfway through that monologue, Susie looks up over her glasses and says, "Thank you, that will be enough," and claps her hands, and the lights change back to the normal lights in that room, and motions for you to take a seat.
I thought you did well.
And Lily comes back around and also joins her back at the table, and Susie says, would someone like to perhaps try a different tact? In a scene?
Go up then, D. Go up, D. You got this.
Very well.
She's classical like that.
All right, Desiree, you head up to that same spike mark. Susie claps her hands once again. This time, however, instead of all of the lights turning off and a spotlight turning on you, all of the entire lights in the entire room go pitch black, and you are standing in complete darkness when you feel someone, you assume it's Lily, hand you a flashlight. What do you do?
I turn on the flashlight.
All right. You turn on the flashlight, and as if by magic, because it is magic, in front of you appear a row of theater seats. And to your left is Lily once again. And she turns to you and goes, "Hi there. I'm in a B-27. I was wondering if you could help me out."
Are you implying that you want me to be an usher?
B-27, yes. I was hoping I could sit before the overture ends, please.
Do you know who I am?
Yes. It says right there on your little name tag there that you're the lead usher.
I would like to make an intimidation check.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, roll for intimidation. What are you trying to do?
Okay. I am trying to convince her that this is not where I am meant to be.
All right. And what'd you roll?
I rolled a 9.
All right. 9. Okay. What does this look like?
I have trod on the boards before. Your grandparents were a twinkle in their parents' eyes. I do not usher.
From the back, you hear me applauding.
And Gregory, as you applaud, you hear a snap and the lights turn back on this room. You can see that Susie Bowman is standing on her feet behind the table, and she says, "Thank you, that will be quite enough," and motions for you, Desiree, to go back and sit down. Susie sits back down. Lily rejoins her. Evelyn, it looks like you're our only hope.
Ah, saving the best for last, I see.
Take your mark, please.
Mark taken.
once again, Susie Bowman snaps her fingers, and suddenly when she does that, the lights don't change, but Lily disappears, and then in front of you, Evelyn, appear 6 different patrons, they look like, each with a number that is on their chest in some kind of magical script. You hear Sarah say to you, "Now, Evelyn, we need someone for this position who has a keen eye, as I know you do, who can judge which patrons we do and do not want to attend our shows." So in front of you are 6 prestidigital patrons. Thank you, Lily. And you hear all 6 of the people at the same time go, "Well, it's no problem, y'all." Evelyn, I would like you to figure out which of these patrons you would not let in to see our show.
All right. I want to get a good look at each of these patrons. I want to see what they look like. How could I do that?
You could do that with how about another perception check?
Okay. Perception. It's not been great so far, so let's see what we got. Okay, all right, okay, I got a 14.
A 14. With a 14, you see all six of these people are quite the assortment of people. Number one is an older-looking male hill dwarf. Number two is a human soldier who seems to be fidgeting a bit. He's got pink skin and a hat on. Number three is a tiny, tiny, very young-looking half-elf girl. She's wearing bizarre, large, golden spectacles, which have many more lenses than the two that her eyes seem to look through. Number four is a halfling. He looks like he just came from work. He's covered in some mining dust, it appears, and he's got a piercing on his left ear. Number five is a very old-looking human warlock with a long, straight gray hair, and he stares back at you with a cold, cold grin. And number six is another dragonborn. Male, about middle age. He's got smooth gray scales and a regular build, and a soft, kind-looking face.
All right. That's a good mix. So, just so I know, how many do I have to weed out here?
There is exactly one patron in this lineup who we would absolutely forbid from attending any of our shows.
All right.
You could roll perception checks or insight checks. You could do more if you want to learn more about these people.
Yeah, insight. Let's do insight. I want to do an insight check.
All right, go ahead and roll insight.
I'm going to roll. Okay, so let's see, 11 plus, I got 13.
13, with an insight check, you're curious about those golden spectacles on the tiny half-elf, number three. They look a little big for her head, and she, as you notice these spectacles, kind of looks at you and then kind of looks away, trying to obscure your ability to look at these spectacles.
Hey, you little young half-elf girl. Hey, what's your deal?
Oh, hi.
Why you need those glasses?
me y'all? Oh, well, these are the newest trend. These are my opera glasses.
Well, yeah, but do they help you watch the show or do they distract you during the show?
Oh, well,
are they recording the show?
Yeah, that's not allowed here.
Gregory, as you say that from the corner, you all see this number three half elf kind of retreat backwards. Go, oh no, I would never record a show. Live theater is meant to be witnessed live. No, these are just style glasses. Of course, these are nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been around a long time, little half elf with golden spectacles, and I've never seen a half elf who needs to wear spectacles. So I'm thinking these are enchanted spectacles, and that you're going to be saving some of this on your magic glasses to take back to your young half-elves back home to watch without paying the gold for admission.
And you hear all these things happened at once. You hear from the audition table another snap as all of those patrons disappear, except for number three, which transforms back into Lily Liedernander. And from behind you, from the audition table, you hear the quietest and slowest.
I join in.
And Susie Bowman is on her feet clapping. Lily walks around to join her and begin clamping. The end, the dragonborn is still dead asleep. Susie says, "My goodness." And Susie walks over and pokes Anne and goes, Anne, I think we found them. And Anne, the dangerously old dragonborn, starts away. He goes, what was that? She sits at her table and contemplates you, Evelyn, standing in the middle, and Desiree sitting on the side, and Gregory also sitting there clapping. And she goes, all right, the three of you, you're hired. And then she immediately falls back asleep. And Susie Bowman says, my goodness, what a delightful day. The three of you, I am so happy to welcome you to the Liedernander organization as our newest batch of ushers. Thank you so much for coming. Next steps, right? Lily, how do we do this? We've been at an usher dearth for such a long time. I forget what our ushers need to do next.
I turn to Desiree and I whisper in her ear, I don't remember an usher part in this show.
I don't remember ushers needing an audition.
I don't remember ushers.
Lily doesn't hear any of you except Evelyn, but kind of passes that thought off. And she walks up to the three and says, well, y'all, this is so great. So opening night is tomorrow night. So that'll be your first night on the job. Come 2 hours before showtime. Between now and then, you're going to have to head over to Tim Taylor's Tailor and Trinkets to get fitted for your ushering uniforms. And then the Leader Nander organization does have an agreement with the Patink Inn. It's a delightful establishment that I think you'll enjoy. If you're looking for lodging while you're here in Imperia.
Oh, thank you very much. This did not go quite as we expected. I don't think if you can tell by our reactions that this is not exactly ideal.
Oh, well, hey, speak for yourself. I haven't had applause like that since I starred in Elfie Get Your Wand.
well, y'all, you know, you got the part. Do you need help? I can point you in the direction of Tim Taylor's if you need it.
Fine.
Sure.
Fine.
Very well.
All right. Lily heads over to Susie. They talk for a second. And Lily says, all right, Susie, is there anything else you need from me? And Susie goes, no, I think we'll head up and do one more brief round of rehearsals with the cast. They should be back from break soon. Lily, find out, what was the name of, I do want to go through the files and see why we did say no to Mo Pumpernickel's show. What was that show called? And Lily says, oh, don't you remember? He said it's called Dear Elvin Hansen. Dear Elvin Hansen. All right, I shall go look that up just to see. I don't understand. He's such a... Anyway, thank you all so much for auditioning. Lily will lead you out. And then Susie gives Lily a quick little peck on the cheek and heads out a doorway to the side. And Lily's like, well, come on, y'all. And leads you out the doorway down the hallway you came through. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Yes, but I grab a handrail as we go toward the stairs.
All right. Lily walks at a normal pace ahead of the three of you, and you all kind of teeter-totter behind her up the creaky staircase from past the first basement, past those doors again, and out the stage door of the Demps Hohenstein Theater. You were in this alleyway before, lit in blue, but this time as you exit into it, you hear Lily herself gasp. She goes, oh! And in front of you, you see something you didn't see when you walked down here the first time. You see two figures slumped on the ground. They don't seem to be moving, and you recognize them as Mo Pumpernickel and Leon Crumb, the one who hit you in the face with the door earlier, Gregory. His briefcase is wide open with papers scattered everywhere, and as your eye traces these papers up the alleyway, you see at the end of it three hooded figures. Each of these figures is wearing a maroon cloak, and on the back of that cloak is emblazoned a red and yellow bird across the shoulders. You can't see the faces of these figures, if they have faces, but beneath their hoods where they might have faces, instead of shadow, the whole place just seems to be glowing. Their whole like face area seems to be glowing. As you and Lily walk out the door, and she gasps and goes, the understudies. And with that, we're going to roll for initiative.
Oh, no!
All right.
All right.
Hello, it's me, Tommy, your Dungeon Master, and welcome to intermission of the first episode of Once More with Dragons. Thank you so much for listening. We have been so excited to bring this podcast and series to you. The gang and I have been working so hard on this one. I've been keeping it a secret for so long, so we're so excited we finally get to share it with you. On that topic, we are a new podcast, so here are some things you can do to help us out. First, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's the number one way to help our podcast get some traction. Secondly, you can tweet about the podcast using the hashtag OnceMoreCast. Send us the names of D&D themed musicals, things like Hello Dragotha, and maybe your musical will be featured in an episode one day. You can also check out all of our social stuff, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can find all of that on OnceMoreWithDragons.com. And of course, most importantly, tell your friends about this new, weird, wacky, musical theater themed Dungeons & Dragons podcast that you know they need to listen to. Our troop this week is Evelyn Forte, the brassy mouth dragonborn sorcerer, played by Emily Clark. You can find Emily over at Stealing Focused on YouTube. Desiree the Magnificent, a high elf druid and daughter of theatrical royalty, is played by Christy Esterly. You can find Christy, aka the Diva, over at Musical Hell on YouTube. Gregory Highland, the two-time and dwarfish rogue, is played by Jesse McAnally. You can find Jesse's other podcast, Musicals with Cheese, in a podcatcher in your pocket right now. And of course, I'm Tommy Nolan, your Dungeon Master, Musical Theater Mash on YouTube and all other places online. Our artwork is by Derek Trust, and special thanks this week to our story consultants Wes, Katie, Flynn, and Jimmy. Thank you all so much. Additional thanks, of course, to Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the network. All of this information and more is available at oncemorewithdragons.com, including links to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page, as well as our Patreon. Thank you again so much for listening. I'll let you all get back to the show. Our next episode is available right now, so you can binge it right after this one is over. But quick, head back to your seats. The lights are blinking and the show's gonna... The lights don't blink. It's a podcast. Anyway, here we go!
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And let's roll for initiative.
Okay, I got an 11.
13.
13?
19.
19.
Oh, actually, no. I got 18.
18.
Wait, no. I have to add my initiative onto that,
yeah,
right?
Add your
initiative.
So what do you get?
15, sorry.
And I have to roll. So, in front of you, here's a rundown of the scene. You exit the door. To your left are the downed bodies of Mo Pumpernickel and Leon Crumb, the producer and his assistant, who you witnessed earlier having an argument with Susie. The four of you, Lily included, have exited. And in front of you, you see three cloaked figures, a tall one, a medium height one, and a short one, all indecipherable, glowing in their face, all with this phoenix across their shoulder. And the first one to attack, the first one in the order is the medium one. You see, this medium one reaches out its arm, or at least what you think is its arm, because there seems to be no hand attached to its cloaked sleeve. It's going to point its cloaked sleeve towards you, Gregory.
Oh.
And it is going to try and attack you. I rolled a 16 against your AC.
Mm-hmm, that will probably hit. I'm a 12 AC.
All right, so that hits, and you see emanating from this sleeve a bolt of fire that goes across, and it strikes you in the shoulder for 3 damage.
Oh, no!
Go ahead and take that damage. It does briefly set your outfit on fire, but you're able to tap it out, and next in the order is Evelyn Forte.
All right, I should pick one of my attacks-ish?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All right, let's do my crossbow.
All right. Oh. And who are you?
I don't know. The little one.
Okay, so you're aiming your crossbow at the little one. You're going to roll it should say plus to hit for that.
Okay. I got a 9.
All right. You got a 9 that just hits. You're aiming for the short one, you said?
Yeah, the little one.
All right. You let loose your crossbow and it flies through the air. And the most ridiculous thing happens. It does hit this cloaked figure straight in the chest. And it seems to sail straight through the thing. And you see it pop right back out the other end. It certainly rips the fabric. And you can see it hurt this cloaked thing. How much damage did you do?
I don't know. Okay. Oh, wait. What does it say? 1d8 through... What does that mean? Oh, I need to roll the 8 dice.
Yep. You roll an 8 dice and then you subtract 1 from that.
Okay, all right, we're getting it. Okay, five.
Five. All right. You hit this cloaked understudy for 5 damage. And you can see it's very worse off. Where did you pull the shortbow from? Was it just on your back?
Kid, I got skills.
And of course, as that bolt from the crossbow sails through this short cloaked figure, it's actually up next in the order. So it's going to point its sleeve, just like the other one, straight at you, Evelyn. Does a 13 beat your armor class?
I'm a 12.
All right, so 13 just beats it.
Just beats it, yeah.
Like the other cloaked figure did, a bolt of flame shoots out of its sleeve and hits you for 2 damage.
Oh no, Evelyn.
up next in the order is Desiree.
Get him, D.
All right. All right. I position myself between the fallen men and the attackers, right. and I direct poison spray at the person closest to me, at the opponent closest to me.
All right. We'll say that's the medium one. Who attacked Jess earlier. And what does poison spray do?
Poison spray, it says, project a puff of noxious gas from your palm. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d12 damage.
All right, let me roll constitution. These guys don't have great constitution. I got a nat 1. That totally fails. So you emit this poison poof out of what is this?
Let's see. I did 1 damage.
Okay, I was taking a drink of water when that happened. You outstretch your finger, attempting to emit a big poisonous cloud, and instead there's just a little ploop, and it drifts towards the medium cloaked figure and hits it for 1 damage. And up next is Lily.
Curse is still rusty.
And Lily says, "Oh." Oh, y'all, I haven't seen understudies. We'll make short work of these folk. She pulls out indescribably from her pocket a longsword and rushes the same medium height cloaked figure, the same one that you just attempted to poison, Desiree. And she hits and does, oh man, 9 points of damage. You see... much like the bolt before from the crossbow, this longsword seems to effortlessly pierce the cloak of this medium-heighted figure. The weirdest thing happens. It doesn't fall over. It doesn't make any noise. It just appears as if whatever corporeal form that was inside of this cloak just suddenly vanishes and the cloak falls to the ground.
He's naked!
And you've defeated the medium one. And
we're fighting Jedi!
Up next in the order is the tallest of the three, and it is going to, having seen its brethren just murdered so viciously, it's going to extend its arm at Lily, and once again you see a bolt emanate from it, and it hits Lily for 4 damage. We killed the medium one, so back up to the top of the order is Evelyn.
I thought Gregory was first.
I was about to say, I don't think I've ever attacked now.
Oh, did you attack? Oh, I missed you in the order. We'll throw you in right now. I'm sorry.
I was like, I've just been sitting there with a broken shoulder.
Yeah, he just got hit.
He's so old.
Hey, listen,
I've done nothing in this entire engagement.
I never
you
said
got you got scorched a little bit.
I never said I was a great DM.
I'm about to say, I've just sat here and I'm like, wow, they keep hitting them. I should probably help.
It's taking him a while to get his bearings back.
Yeah, sorry. You were so knocking aback.
A lot of stuff has gone down while I'm just like rested, I guess. Took a nap.
You poor old thing.
All right. My apologies, Gregory. What do you do?
I'm going to do an attack with my dagger because that's all I can do.
All right. There's a short one.
And we've only got one left, so I just race at him.
You got 2 left. Woo! There's a short one and a tall one. Short one's looking pretty bad off.
I'm going to do the tall one. I'm going to go for that one.
All right. So you rush towards...
I'm brave.
You rush towards this tall one. Go ahead, roll an attack roll.
Yep. So I got a 4 plus 2, so 6.
A six. A six, unfortunately, does not hit. So
no!
You run towards this tall cloak. What does it look like when Gregory runs?
You see, when in the moment I do, I have agility, but when I'm like doing day to day stuff, it's like really a chore.
Okay.
So like,
it's the adrenaline.
Yeah, honestly, when it, the high adrenaline, I'm good. So I look like I'm flowing, like the guy that doesn't need a handrail.
Desiree and Evelyn, you see the most bizarre thing. Gregory, who previously was kind of stumbling and bumbling around, suddenly gets this firm determination in his shoulders and sprints towards this cloaked figure who just dives out of the way of his dagger as Gregory stabs midair. And now we are back up to the top of the order with Evelyn.
I would like to use... Okay, wait, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I want to use... one of my actions, but instead of hit points, it says 12 dex.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Dexterity.
Yeah, your dexterity. What does the action do?
I want to use my breath weapon.
Oh, your breath weapon. Yes. So you're a dragon.
Yeah.
And your breath weapon is fire. This character who you're attacking would have to beat a 12 dexterity save. And then if it doesn't, you do 2d6 of damage to it.
You know what? Screw it. Let's go for it. Right. I want to use brass.
All right.
Johnny could only sing one note, and the note he sang was this. Okay.
Let's go.
you reel back and emit a lesser known musical theater piece. And what
that's
do I
Rogers
have to
and Hart. Thank you very much.
I have to save against 12 dex.
It felt like it was written by an alcoholic.
Oh. That was good. That was
which
good.
One? Which one are you aiming for? There's the,
nah, who's the big one. I want to get the big one.
The tall one. All right. You aim for the tall one. And I got a two. So the tall cloaked figure does not dive out of the way as out of your mouth issues a huge bolt of fire breath. And go ahead, roll damage for that.
Okay, I just got six.
Okay.
And 5, so 11.
6 and 5 is 11. But actually, this tall understudy only takes 5 of your flame breath damage. It certainly knocks it back, but it is still standing.
Not what I used to be.
next in the order is the short cloaked figure who, just having seen you attack, gonna point at you, Evelyn, and is gonna run towards you to try and get closer to you as it extends its arm. And I rolled a 15 to attack. Does that beat your AC?
Yeah, it does. I'm a 12.
All right. You're going to take 3 points of fire damage as this firebolt strikes you in the stomach.
Ah!
And you go reeling back.
Look out!
My diaphragm!
Hold your breath. Don't inhale. Sing out, Louise.
Up next is Desiree.
All right. Okay, we got 2 people left standing.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
The short one and the tall one.
We have not been any use since you've last gone.
Nothing.
Thank you. All right. So I rub my palms together and after psyching myself up a little bit, I direct poison spray at the short one.
All right. I got to beat a 12 constitution. Is that right? Do I remember that right?
Yes.
All right. I got a 14. So your poison spray emits from your hands and heads towards this cloaked figure, but seems to have no effect on it. And next in the order is Lily. And she says, you know what? I'm done with this. And you see her take a step back and she reels back in and says, you two understudies are some of the most deplorable people. I think this town would be better out without you, as she uses vicious mockery against them, which is a thing she knows as a bard. And
Lily's known for this.
She is. And she and the two figures have to roll wisdom saving throws. And one fails. The short one fails. And so you see this short one kind of like stumble back. It's not like it grabs its ears or anything. It just kind of hobbles backwards. And then just like the medium one before it, you see Star Wars style, the whole cloak just kind of descend as if whatever was inside of it suddenly vanished. The other one did dodge the vicious mockery, and next in the order is that tall understudy who's going to once again attack Lily, but it misses. So just over Lily's shoulder, this bolt of fire streaks past her and she goes, whoa! and we're back around. Yeah, I forgot what her voice went. That's what she sounds like, right? And
when she's startled, yes.
Yes. And back again, not forgotten this time to Gregory. Oh. All you got left is this tall understudy.
Physically, where am I in relation to them? Like, because I did just fail to stab one of them. So.
Sure. So you probably ran past their line in the alleyway. So you're farthest away from your compatriots. I think this tall one is between you and the three of them, kind of in the middle of this alleyway.
So it's facing, its back is toward me right now, is more.
Its back is toward you right now, correct.
So I try to race up and stab it in the back numerous times, like real fast.
All right. Because you're giving a sneak attack, I'll give you advantage to your attack, which means you get to roll 2d20 and take the higher of those numbers. It's a good roll and attack roll twice.
Oh, cool. All right. So here's the first one. First one is natural 20.
All right. Well, we don't need to roll the second one.
Take that.
And on a crit attack roll. So what? How much damage does your dagger normally do?
It usually does plus two. The four dice plus two.
Four dice plus two. So I will give you whatever the dice is a time over again.
Okay.
So I'll give you four plus whatever you roll on the dice plus two because you critted that attack roll.
All right. And maybe I got the wrong dice. I'm just looking at it now. Whatever.
Four is the pyramid looking one.
Yeah, but it's got three numbers on it. I was like, what?
How does that work?
Yeah, I was about to say, how do I find out which one's on top? I think it's three.
Whatever
three.
The number is on top? On the pointy bit.
Okay, three then.
They're all pointy bits!
Whichever one is face pointing up. Got it.
So what'd you roll?
Yeah, so I got a three.
So three plus three. Three plus four plus one, was it?
Plus two.
That's too much math for me. All right.
So we're actors!
You run up behind this, the tallest of understudies, your roguelike skills coming into play. It doesn't hear you coming at all. And you watch this almost as if in slow motion. Your dagger penetrates the fabric right beneath this flamed bird that is emblazoned on the back shoulders of this cloak, and it travels through the cloak, and you feel no resistance at all in this dagger as it then hops out the other side, and you see the point of it, and then in your hands the entire cloak just slumps down onto your dagger, and whatever is inside of it is suddenly gone.
Yes.
And you've defeated all three of these cloaked figures.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now that the action's over, can I ask a question?
Yes, we are now out of combat.
Can I take this cloak and put it on myself?
If you would like.
I put it on myself and say, I'm finally a T-bird.
Do-do-do-do-do.
I also have a question. Who in the alley is most injured right now?
So let's do this. Disaria, you run over to Mo and Leon, who are still slumped over, having not moved on the ground. And go ahead, roll an, oh, what should we call that? A medicine check on them.
All right. I roll a 18.
All right. With an 18, do you want to help out Mo or Leon first? They both are just kind of down. As far as you can tell, none seem to have any like obvious injuries.
Let's see. I do my best to wake up Mo.
All right. So you touch Mo's shoulder and like he goes, ah, and starts awake and goes, oh my God. Oh, I fell. And then Mo rolls over and sees you, Gregory, wearing the cloak of the understudy in the corner of the alley, and Mo gets up so quickly and backs up to the back of the alley and goes, ah, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, don't hurt me, ha! Ah! And he like kind of shields his face.
Oh no.
Anyone want to do anything?
What's wrong, friend?
And Mo goes, listen, I have no more business with you. I'm on the up and up. Listen, I thought I was done dealing with these, with the understudies. And as he's doing this, Desiree, you also see, in front of you, Leon, that's his name, right? opens, one of his eyeballs and kind of looks at you. He doesn't seem to be, actually damaged at all. And he kind of mumbles out of the side of his mouth and goes, are they gone? Are they gone?
Gee, you were a lot of help during all that.
Yes, they're gone, coward.
You see him hop up straight away, with his empty briefcase, which now has pages all flown everywhere. And he also sees you, Grigori, and he starts to startle backwards, but then looks a little closer and goes, "Wait a minute, you're." How's that black eye?
It's very good. It's very, very good. Thank you very much for that.
I'm so... we rushed out of here so quickly. It is not like me to not... I must apologize to you, sir.
Yes, well, you should.
Thanks, Evelyn.
Of course, ma'am. I try not to make it a habit of doorknobbing people, as you can imagine. Mo, who now sees that Grigori, you are no longer a threat,
yes,
says to Leon, Leon, we got to get going. This man, if this... And then he looks at the three of you and says, listen, you all may be new to the city of Imperia, but if the understudies cross your paths, you turn and run. Do you hear me? You turn and run.
Can I ask, you've had experience with them before. Please tell me more.
Lily chimes in and says, oh, of course, y'all. I'm surprised. I forgot y'all were so new here. The understudies, well, we haven't had to deal with them for quite some time, but they seem to be making a resurgence. They're, a cult-like group of people who seem to cause mischief to musical theater type folk. You never know when they're going to pop up, but apparently up they've popped. And Mo says, see, you've got an expert in your midst. Miss Lita Nander's family has a long-running history with the understudies, as I'm sure you can imagine. Me and my partner here must be going. Leon, pick up the papers. Leon! And Leon's like, yes, sir, sorry.
I try to block their path.
Oh, okay. okay, so will you do an intimidation check?
All right.
This is something here. You don't want to be intimidated by Desiree.
Get him, D.
11.
That's right.
An 11. With an 11, you kind of step on one of the papers that Leon is trying to frantically pick up and stuff back in his briefcase. Do you say anything to him, or?
You know something, and you just said that you had business with them before. I want to know everything.
And Mo gently walks over to you and leans down and also puts his hand on Leon's hand, who's trying to pull these things off, and says, listen, everyone knows who the understudies are. If you've been in theater and you haven't run into the understudies yet, it's only a matter of time. They run this town. Well, they used to run this town. We've been working hard to knock them out, get them out, keep everything on the up and up, but for whatever reason, they seem to have a vengeance dead set against doing magical theater. Why anyone wouldn't like magical theater, I don't know. Do you know, Leon?
No, I don't know, sir. See, he doesn't know anything.
If they show up, they can cause you great mischief. So again, I reiterate my advice, which you clearly need to know because you decided to fight these very dangerous individuals. If you encounter these understudies in the future, you turn tail and run. Can we have our paper back now, please?
I look away as if I know more than I'm letting on.
And, I don't know. It seems to me it would be more difficult to achieve understudy status than it would be to be the star. And even then, they get none of the acclaim.
Listen, no one knows how they got their names or what's going on here. We have a very important meeting to get to. I'm searching for a theater. It's a big deal. We've got stars lined up for my show. I'm sure you heard of it, dear Elvin Hansen. It's going to be big, big, I say, big. But we've got to get going. May we have a paperback, please, and be on our way, as we've already had a great to-do today.
I don't trust him, Desiree.
And I put my hand on Leon's shoulder, and I say, wait 1 minute, sir.
Oh, Grigori.
I'd like to get on the ground floor of this dear Elvish Hansen. I am a man who has done business in many types of sales, and I think this could be big. So what can I do to get on the ground floor of it?
You see Leon finally yank this piece of paper out from under Desiree's foot, and he stands up and reaches into his pocket, and on the torn piece of paper says,
yes, sir. Gregory, it was, right? I think I overheard that before. I'll write that down here. Gregory. Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll
get it right.
We'll be in touch. I will keep you on our list. And with that, he kind of
I grip his shoulder even harder and say,
he goes, oh!
We are three magical theater folks, and we might not be in our prime, but we are always looking for places to be of use.
Oh, that's good. Can I write that down?
Will you
roll? I like him. He reminds me of my ninth husband or possibly my sixth wife.
I loved Karen.
Gregory, will you roll a persuasion check for me against Leon?
What dice do I need? I'm sorry. Is that a 20?
D20 plus your persuasion modifier.
Plus one. So I got 16.
With a 16, you see both Mo and Leon kind of look at each other, and then they look back at you and nod and says, We'll be in touch. We're pursuing an audition location in the Latonophone Theater. Did the three of you want to make the list?
Very much so.
Certainly.
I'm not already on the list.
All right. So that's three down on the list. Miss Liedernander, we can find these three at the Patink Inn, I can imagine, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. We put up all our perspectives there. And Mo says, well, then we'll come find you there and let you know more about our auditions. Leon, we must be gone. And with that, the two...
I smile at them and release his shoulder.
And with that, the two of them turn heels and walk away. And you're left. And Lily says, oh, man, y'all, that was more than I expected us to have to do here. Do y'all feel up to heading off to Tim Taylor's Tailors and Trinkets still today? Your first day is tomorrow, and it would be nice if you could get fitted for your uniforms.
Yes, I am. I would very much like that.
Yes.
I remember the days when I was here, and Tim Taylor was just the local tool man, and things have changed quite a bit.
Get out of here.
I was born ready!
all right, y'all. You just head back out the alleyway and you turn left and you'll find a Tim Taylor shop down the block. I'm gonna go get out of here. We got a big day tomorrow, opening night. It's gonna be great. Hello, Dragotha. We're gonna take Imperia by storm. And with that, she also skips off in the same direction as Mo and Leon, which is not the direction she pointed you in.
Well, let us go in the direction she pointed us in. Would you guys mind me walking with you? It's been a while.
Of course. Let's all go together.
Sure.
Let's link arms and skip down the alley.
All right.
We're young.
I do not skip.
Saunter?
I don't think I could skip at this moment in time.
Let's saunter down the alley.
I will hobble.
Sauntering is acceptable.
I do take Evelyn's arm, but I do limp, and she is very obviously holding me up at this point.
Evelyn does that thing where she links arms with the two of you on either side, and she starts to skip, but both of you kind of reluctantly pull back on her arm with every skip she does. And I'm going to, could everyone roll a perception check for me?
Oh, sure. Let's see.
18.
Oh, natural 20.
Natural 20.
20, so.
Nat 20, you pass.
I just got 19.
All right. I think you all see this, but Desiree, you more than most. Leon lost a couple pieces of paper in the scuffle that have been fluttering around, and there's these two cloaks, not including the one that Gregory's wearing right now as he walks through the city.
He looks sharp.
Wearing the cloak of a cult. And there, you know, there's some trash in the alley. But you see something glinting, Desiree, just in the gutter of this alleyway.
All right, I go over and examine it.
All right, you see this thing? It looks like a very, very small lighter, like a Zippo lighter. And you pick it up.
Where are the T-Birds?
And it's kind of covered in mud and you know, water. It's a dirty alleyway. But you wipe off the mud a little bit. And the other two, Evelyn and Gregor, you're leaning in and you're looking at this thing too, because it seems there's certainly something weird about it or magical about it. But you flip it around and it has this ornate engraving on the back of it. And in the middle of this ornate engraving are three letters. And those letters are R-P-W.
RPW.
RPW.
Is that ringing any bells?
I don't know what that means. No.
Can I roll?
Yeah, can we roll to see if that sounds familiar to any of us?
Sure.
Rings the bell.
Jess, you ask first. Gregory, why don't you roll a history check?
Okay. 12 plus 2, so 14.
14. You scan back through your mind, and there's RPW. You know some RPs, and you know some PWs, but you don't know any RPWs.
All right, then.
Let's see if I can come up with anything else.
All right. Desiree?
Okay, 7-11, so probably not much else.
7-11? Yep, the letter R is a letter, and so is P and W. You're pretty sure.
What about Evelyn?
Well, I'm glad to know that.
Let me see what I got. No, I'm going to fail. Five.
A five. This is, you know, Evelyn, this sure is a lighter.
I only remember the important things.
My favorite part about this is I'm imagining her eating, like, out of her purse or something. Like, as she's looking and thinking, that is a lighter.
That's a lighter.
So does anyone want to pocket the lighter or anything?
I'll pocket it in my cloak.
All right. You pocket your lighter, that lighter in the cloak that you're wearing. And the three of you jollily skip down the alleyway. And just as you turn the corner to head down towards Tim Taylor's tailor and trinket shop, from behind you, out of the shadows in a place in a corner that you didn't even notice, steps another figure who just is wearing the same cloak that you happen to be wearing right now. One of those maroon cloaks.
Turn around and run, everybody.
With a red and orange bird emblazoned along the back. You don't notice this figure as they walk over to the now two downed and somewhat ripped cloak standing slumped in the middle of the alleyway, and they reach down, pick them up, shove them inside of their cloak, and then this figure vanishes into the air.
Oh.
Dun dun dun.
That's a lot to absorb.
Remember how you made it here, a game of truth or dare. You rolled the dice with confidence, now the fortunes we can share. The finish line is drawing near, just keep your eye on the prize. A new star is calling you, why don't you try it on the side?
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.